Welcome to Small Worlds Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Leanne Davidson.
And I am Corey O'Flanagan.
And today we have a very, very, very special guest, Mrs. Hannah Brewski, one of my good friends from Ireland.
Exactly.
Who I met in Canada, who is currently doing a working holiday visa in Australia.
Which is why we are here with Hannah. Hannah, welcome.
Hi, guys.
She's feeling sufficiently awkward, which makes us feel great.
Because and can we just say, not? Like, right off the bat, I think this might be our latest recording and also our deepest into wine. We're going to take you on a windy journey here through the Australian work visa, because I, as an American, have no fucking idea about these things.
As an old American. Young Americans know.
But also, I've only been in Australia for 3 months.
As an almost middle-aged American. And the thing is that we've got Leanne, who's been there, done it. Hannah, who's at the very beginning. She's at the precipice, if you will.
The precipice.
We're all very jealous, actually, because we love Australia.
I'll just marry everyone and get you all visas for Australia when I get residency.
I'm very curious about these work visas because, obviously, you guys have been doing them. Leanne's been leaning on them heavy for the last 5 years. And Hannah for, the last three?
Four? Three?
Four?
Three?
She was in Canada somewhat legally for a while.
Sure. Basically, for people who don't know, a working holiday visa is defined. We have touched about this in previous episodes, but it's basically an initiative or it's an organization between countries where people under a certain age, usually 31, but sometimes 35, they can go and temporarily work and holiday in a country, usually for 1 to 2 years. It's a really great initiative to go travel, save some money, and get the open door for a residency somewhere
else. Do we know the list of countries that are part of this?
There's around 30. Most of the EU. Okay. Yeah, most of the EU are included. Japan, some of South America, now North America in particular. Not Mexico, sadly, but Canada and America can. There's a whole heap of countries that you wouldn't even think.
Yeah, and there's some European countries it's harder to get visas for different countries. So, Spain, it's hard to get visas for both Australia and Canada.
Yeah.
But there is a list that you can get on.
Sometimes there's a pool with X amount of visas that are offered a year. Example, Australians going to Canada, it was unlimited. I think it's different now. We'll have to fact check that one.
There's 10,000 visas released every year for Canada.
Whereas
for England,
it's 4,000. American, it's zero.
There's 10,000 just for Irish?
Just for Irish
What
people.
About in Australia?
It could be unlimited, to be honest.
In Australia, really? I think it's unlimited.
There's 4 million Irish in Ireland and there's 4 million Irish abroad.
And this is reciprocal.
Yeah, well...
Australians can come to Ireland?
No, because...
It's actually really difficult to get visas in England and Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah, so for Irish people, you can travel all over the world. It's one of the most powerful visas in the world. But when you go to Australia, for example, when you get the working holiday visa, you don't get Medicare. So you have to have travel insurance that supports your health needs and whatever. But that's reciprocal. When Australians come to Ireland, they don't get the same healthcare benefits.
Yeah.
But if you
you're from England or if you're from France or not Spain, I know Spain don't get the healthcare, but if you're from France, maybe Italy, Germany, you get the Medicare, which is free healthcare in Australia. You do not need travel insurance. This is a hot tip if you are thinking of doing a working holiday visa
which
in Australia.
You think of doing.
And which you should, because you earn a shit ton of money and it's beautiful. If you are from the right allocated country, you can get free Medicare. So I forked out a fortune for my first year on travel insurance. Did not need it because actually I just got it for free with my Medicare. Not free, it's tax based, but it worked out better.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm curious how you found out about it. Because this is something that's new to my knowledge as a you know, on the precipice of being middle-aged man.
Seasoned.
I spent time in South Africa on a game reserve, and I met someone who had done a working holiday visa in Canada as a ski season. And I was literally like, that sounds like fun. I want to travel.
Yeah.
I can go and do a ski season. And I figured out where Whistler was and...
This is an interesting thing to me, is that the whole, like, this, you guys have, being from the islands in the northern part of the EU, have this fascinating, like, Canada, ooh. And I'm like, Canada, brr.
Yeah, for us, Canada's so exotic. How can you look at, like, bears, for example? This summer, I saw a bear on the side of the pavement, aka sidewalk. And I was just like,
chilling.
Wow, that's like seeing an elephant or a giraffe or like a whale. But you're like, meh.
Northern Wisconsin, they were in my backyard.
Yeah, see, it is crazy. We didn't have exotic animals where we're from. We're very vanilla.
But I mean, Scotland has the mountains, so you can see the mountains. But yeah, you don't get mountains in like ski season, like
Whistler. And they're not rugged either. Like the raw nature from these kind of mountains.
And it's
this
a long ways away.
And it is, and that's cold. Another thing.
It's rainy really cold. And cold and miserable for like 9 months out of the year.
So, but really beautiful. But also,
why we are abroad.
Yeah. But for me to hear about I'd never heard about an Australian work visa before, actually. So this is back in 2014, and I just had in my head after uni, oh my God, I want to travel, because my parents both traveled and I knew that there's a big wild world out there and I hated the English weather. And my granddad had relatives, his nephew and his wife, they actually moved to Australia in World War II. And I knew that I had relatives over there, and I was really close with my granddad before he died. And he said, oh, I really would love for you to go and visit Jim and Jenny out in Australia and go meet your family. So when I finished uni and I said, I want to go traveling, and my mum suggested Australia, and I did some research and I got in contact with them. And
it looked decent.
And yeah, it looked okay in beautiful crystal blue waters of Western Australia. And I thought, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And I find that really interesting, because the same reason that I chose Whistler to go to in Canada was because my grandmother's brother moved out there years ago, and I had family in Vancouver, which was 2 hours away, and they completely adopted me while I was there. Mm-hmm. And they really looked after me, and it was so much easier. You pointed out a couple of years ago, and I don't know if you remember that, this is, you said that when you travel there's different grades. Canada and Australia are like grade one.
Easy peasy.
So easy. English
traveling like a video game.
Highly educated. Like, you can get a job really easily.
Same culture.
Same.
So I don't think about this. Is the thing, is like, when I think about these work visas, because of where you're going with them, I don't think of that as travel as what we're doing right now.
So we're gonna go and spend the summer in Europe. Do you consider that as traveling?
Not in the same. What I'm most curious about, though, is that I have no idea about this process. So, like, if when you say, I want to go work in Australia for a year or 2 years, whatever it is, where do you start? You just go, is there like an Australian work visa website?
Yeah, so you go on to the Australian work visa website.
The government website. Okay. If you just put into Google, it'll be .au.gov. That's like the last bit to look at, and that's where you can officially apply through the government for as minimum charges as possible.
Yeah, but then you have to deal $495 Australian.
That's if you go through the government.
Yeah,
but you can do it through outside agencies.
You might not get a visa. You might just spend that money.
Honestly, Australia is pretty much guaranteed. It depends where you're from, of course. We're speaking from our experience from Europe. It's pretty much guaranteed that you're going to get your visa. I'm not sure how that is for an American audience, but if you go through the Australian government website, it just means that you have to do your tax file number, et cetera, by yourself, which is separate. So when I did
When you arrived to Australia. Exactly. So I did it through the Australian government website.
Okay, so you did it that way.
In August, I got my acceptance letter, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they asked me to go for a medical. So I had to then pay another $250 on top of the $495 to get a tuberculosis test.
And these are Australian dollars.
Australian dollars. A couple of other tests for them to allow me into the country. Did those tests within 12 hours of doing the tests in a government-approved office, my visa was approved.
That's efficient.
It was really, really fast.
I can't believe you had to do tests. So I applied back in 2014, so this information is kind of irrelevant.
Pretty much archaic.
But yeah, exactly.
Everyone that I've spoken to recently has to do the medical test.
That happens in Canada now as well. My brother
and
just
so
applied.
Now for Canada, if you're looking to go to Canada, you have to do fingerprints. You have to go to a government, like a government office or an embassy, and get your biometrics done. Which also costs money, and you have to possibly be in your home country to do it.
You do, I think. But also going back to the going through the government website, so you had to do your SIN number, like your national insurance number, whatever. You had to do that when you arrived in Australia.
Yeah, so instead of, like, if you were to go through the Working Holiday Club or something like that, not sponsored, you have to get your SIN number or your TFN, which is your tax file number. When you arrive to Australia, you have to get your own phone number. You have to get Medicare if you're eligible for it. You have to apply for all of these things and go through the government to get them. So I got here and I was expecting the option to work right away with my having my tax file number, but it takes up to 28 days to receive that.
Okay.
I expected it to take the full 28 days, and luckily I had enough savings to get me through that, but it only took 10 days to get, which was great because I could work after 10
days.
But
it's good for people to know that it might take 28 days.
It might take 28 days once you get here, but if you go through a Working Holiday Club or a company that does it for you, you will get your visa, you'll get your tax file number. You might have a phone number on arrival.
See, this is what
There's
I did.
Different things to do.
I went through
just depends
travel
on
in 2014, and I got my visa. I got my tax file number. I didn't get a phone number, but I was eligible to start work straight away when I arrived in Australia. Okay. So I paid. So I was very green to the travel situation. I didn't even realize you could go through a government website. My travel agents never told me about the Medicare situation, so I bought full travel insurance with them for like £500, which I did not need.
So any other requirements that people should know about? I mean, I think that having some savings going into it is a good idea, but I also think
you don't need a lot. So a couple of $1,000 Australian is more than enough.
Yeah, and for one of the things that I'm learning talking to you guys is that you can really, like, there's tons of work.
There's tons of work if you're not picky about where you're going to work.
Okay. And if you don't speak very good English, also okay. You go and work on the farms, which is what I did for a really long time. I was traveling.
Clearly your English is suffering.
My English is awful, I know. But it could have also been the bottle of wine I've drank. But I was traveling with someone who didn't speak a lick of English, and he never struggled to find work. You can find it anywhere, as long as you're not picky.
I can attest to that. I'm currently working in a bar, having never bartended before.
That's
I'm
a bar
cocktail bartender.
For everyone else.
Yeah,
and
or a bar,
there are French
American
people that I live with at the Backpackers who arrived in Australia 2 months ago not having a word of English, who have gotten jobs in the kitchen, learning English and really trying their best to learn English.
And there's like a lot of come and go,
and they're
right?
developing from that, and it's amazing to see them grow in
so
that
when
situation.
You it seems like because of this aspect of being able to like just kind of freely bounce around, when you get the job, is there something that's like holding you to that? Are they like, we need this minimum commitment out of you?
Employers are very open when they see that you're on a working holiday visa. If they're bothered, if they know that you're going to bounce about, or if they have a problem with the bouncing about, they usually say, I need a minimum of 2 months requirement.
Yeah.
That very rarely happened to me.
So like 2 weeks notice for quitting isn't a thing?
No.
For example,
you can leave. That was back in my day.
I started this job 6 weeks ago. I told them I might be planning a trip to Vietnam in March, and a week ago I told them that I was booking the flight and going, and they said, no problem, you're casual, we'll have work for you when you're back.
Great. That's something to
and
remember.
I was able to take 3 weeks off with a week's notice.
It's something to remember. Everyone's
really
hired
lucky
as a casual. As a backpacker, you're usually hired unless you get a job on like a mine site or, you know, something a bit more, like, I don't want to say upmarket, but something that's
serious,
more,
that takes
more
a little
serious
bit more gumption to get the job.
You usually work with locals as opposed to working with backpackers. But
do we want to dive into the Australian work ethic?
I don't know. I've got a lot of Australian. I've got an awful lot of Australian friends that may or may not be listening to this.
That's fine.
You know what? I'm an honest person. I'll throw it out there. My experience, which I've worked in a lot of different areas in Australia. I worked in hospital. I worked on farms. I worked on the docks. I worked on the mines. The work ethic varied, but all over compared to other areas of the world, I'm going to say it's not as hardworking. But you know what? I'm not saying that they're wrong, because they're getting paid more and doing less.
And this is the thing, who's that, really as an American, this is amazing to me, is that your blue-collar worker
is getting paid more.
So healthy. And it's just really amazing.
But blue-collar workers are essential to society.
That's exactly how it should be. I 100% agree. And I think that it absolutely should be, and I think it's amazing. But give me an example of this. Like somebody who's out there, a farm worker. You're going out and you're just like picking potatoes.
That's not the best example. A farm worker, because they're usually on the lower-ended pay of the scale, unless you can drive a tractor or a forklift. Okay, so minimum wage in South Australia to work on a farm, legally, bearing in mind there's a lot of illegal workers there, is $17 an hour. This was back in 2015.
17 Aussie, so that's
currently, the minimum wage in Australia is $19.
Okay, so that's gone up $2 in 2 years.
So you're at like 14, 15 or bucks American, which is where a lot of people are trying to get it to in the States.
But you do have to remember that costs in Australia, I will throw it out there, are a lot more, and taxes are higher.
Given that your taxes go towards
healthcare, towards
system.
It's a very good system. And as a backpacker, system. You don't actually pay tax. You got a larger tax threshold.
Yeah, and
threshold,
you pay your employer pays what, 10%?
Honestly, guys, if you're thinking you get a superannuation, which is like a retirement fund that your employer pays on top of your wages, your employer pays what they call a superannuation fund. Because usually for an Australian resident, they cannot claim that until they've retired. But for someone who's only on a temporary visa, once you leave the country, you get to claim that superannuation. So for example, after 2 years when I left, I got $3,000 just thrown into my bank account. That was on top of my wages, on top of any of my savings. And that was just my retirement fund that I was never going to claim because I was not Australian.
Flights.
You want to really say what you bought with it?
I do, but I'm not going to. Probably a lot of cocktails in the Philippines. And some AC.
Because
I was feeling very fancy.
I knew that's what you did before you came to Canada.
I was living it up in the Philippines for like 6 weeks. I did not give a fuck.
And here's another distinguishment that we need to make. Is that we've got different types of work. But you have work requirements as well. So dive into this a little bit. You have there's so many different jobs that you guys have talked
there's
to me about
so
that you can
many
get.
Work
but then
requirements.
There's the farm work requirement. So explain that to me a little bit.
So requirements for farm work if you want to do your second year on your 417
farm work,
visa.
I just love
this
it.
I will note for what Hannah is saying, what Hannah is talking about is for the European people, or for the people that subclass in that visa 417, okay? So I'm going to talk about the other people, but that's America, not non-Americans.
Yeah, so for the 417 visa, which is the Irish visa, the UK visa, mostly the European visa, you get your first year automatically when you apply and get granted that visa. And then once you're there, you can decide if you want to stay another year. If you want to stay another year, you have to do 88 days of farm work in a rural area that is counted by the government in a job that the government approves. So
Sydney, no. Melbourne, Sydney, no. Perth, no.
You gotta get out at least
you've
into
gotta
the
get
burbs.
Out. So at
not
least in
the burbs.
And there's a list of postcodes that are allowed on the government websites. It's
but when people
easy
think
to
farm
access.
Work, they're thinking the shit that Leanne got into,
yeah,
like
so it could
potato
be
picking and stuff
potato
like that.
Picking,
but you're gonna go do
picking.
Some nannying on a farm.
I'm gonna do nannying on a farm.
She's taking the easy way out.
Farm is gonna pay me through their payroll on the farm.
So basically, this
there's
is dodgy
ways to
work.
Skirt the system.
Exactly. You
so
can work
ways
as a gardener.
To skirt the system.
And what you have to do is you have to do this minimum to get your second year.
Yeah, exactly. So to get my second
and
year. So
and
year
you
now.
Have to get signed off by the farmer. You get a form with special ABN numbers or the business numbers
yeah.
and the farmer's signature.
Australian business number.
He has this form and you have this form and you have to apply when you're applying for your second year work visa. You have to keep all of this information that you're given at the end of your farm work.
Because the government can investigate and they do investigate.
They do investigate.
Something like 1 in 7 applications for the second year.
Which is fascinating because I have heard of people that are just going to the farmer and being like, I'll give you a grand, just
yeah,
sign
that,
off
that
on
happened,
this.
That happened
happens,
a lot when I was
it happens
there.
An awful lot. I could name, but I won't name a few people who I know have
it.
Had it
drop
work.
It.
Do
drop
it.
It.
Drop it like a tar.
She was gonna do it.
Oh my gosh, she was gonna do it. If any of those people are listening, Hannah's evil eyes just came up
she
and she's
did.
Like,
she was like, who can I say?
Who pissed me off last week? I'm in Vietnam, they can't attack me right now. But going off that, the 88 days of farm work that's all counted all over Australia for the 417 visas. That is a 462 visa for people who are from the Americas and I think from Spain as well. So you are the lucky bastards that don't actually have to work in rural areas. You lucky bastards. The only rule that you guys have is you have to do 88 days of paid employment above the Tropic of Capricorn. So the Tropic of Capricorn, I believe, was near Agnes Waters, which is in Queensland. So you can go to northern Queensland, so Cairns, you can go to Darwin, you can go to Broome, any of that northern area of Australia, that is considered rural for the Americas. So you guys can work in hospitality, you can do whatever the fuck you want, and you can still get those 88 days there.
And that's fantastic. And you know what, the fact of the matter is that after the last, 6 months that Australia just had, they could use probably some extra hands.
And another thing that's actually happening at the moment is that if you are a backpacker working in towns that have been affected by the bushfires,
you can
count those days towards your second year.
Fantastic.
On your 88 days.
Which is so much better than going and working on a farm.
You want to give us a little bit of that
experience? And you're giving back to the community.
Give me a little day in, day out of some of this farm work, because...
Oh, I wish Matt was here right now.
All I ever
remembers.
Do is hear about this.
So,
let's shine a positive light on it.
A positive? That's kind of hard. Tell you what, you know what? I attest that farm work made me a better person because I can appreciate a good 10 or 12 hour day of work on my feet and I can say, hey, that wasn't so bad. So farm work really made me appreciate where I come from and how fortunate I am and the opportunities that I have.
Let's just list some of the fruits and vegetables that you've picked.
Picked or packed?
Either.
Okay.
Or.
What about meat or fish?
Bring it.
Okay. So, we started off in the early months of 2015.
No one cares about the time frame.
Okay,
we just want to know what was packed.
Great. Hannah's
like,
great.
I'm nannying on a firm.
Yeah.
I'm not doing hang out.
I am the
guys, it's nap time.
Honestly, I'm the bronze.
The
nap time.
I'm the bronze and the brains, and Hannah's just brains. But I've got both. Okay, so I do yoga once every 2 weeks. I got this. Okay, so I started with grapes, then I moved on to potential banana picking, but then there was a cyclone. Then I went to orange picking, lime picking, then mushroom packing, worst experience of all. And then I went up, did some waitressing and some bartending for a little bit, and then I came down to work on a potato and an onion farm. But it just so happened to be the main provider of potatoes and onions to the whole of Australia. I'm talking Coles, Woolworths, Lay's, aka Walker's potato chips, aka crisps. Everything that had a potato in it in Australia, I examined that potato before it went out between the months of September and November of 2015.
That's just a lovely, lovely story.
Yeah.
I got one question
that
could probably take us out of this. Is that knowing that within Australia, prostitution is legal.
I never did it.
Is prostitution part of the working visa holiday program?
It's no, but it, you know, no. Let me just comment on that, because in my hostel in Darwin, there was a girl who's going to remain unnamed. She actually, because I was working on the fishing docks in Darwin at this point, so I used to get boxes of prawns and fish thrown at me, and I was the only woman on the docks, and as a nanny by day, Hannah. Oh yeah, I used to nanny as well as work on the docks. That's another story. But this girl, she was actually also a prostitute.
Are you sure you weren't?
She was a paid sex worker. Trust me, I would not have been working on a fish dock getting raw fish thrown at me if I was getting paid for my punani.
You could have just been throwing your raw fish all over the place.
Oh, maybe I'm symbolic for the fish. No.
If you're not throwing, you're catching. That's the moral of the story.
I am the catch. I am the catch. But no, this girl, she was working in Darwin, and she got paid handsomely, but not as handsomely as I thought she would be paid for prostitution or sex work. But she really enjoyed the job, and she was happy. It was legal. It was safe. So props to her. It was awesome.
Is anything anybody should know besides just, like, go and do it? Because look at it this way. You graduate from the United States, a great university. Maybe you've got some good job prospects, but maybe you haven't been anywhere and seen anything. So go try and do something like
life
this.
Life experience.
Because
is
it's going to take you to the opposite side of the globe, and then you can maybe like venture up into the Asian countries for a little bit or something like that.
Yeah.
Get yourself out there.
So I've been in Australia for 3 months. I spent a month in Indonesia and a month now in Vietnam. And that's been super easy because it's really accessible from Australia and the flights are really cheap.
I think
cheap.
You just said $90 to fly from
Australia.
Ho Chi Minh.
Yeah, from Ho Chi Minh to Perth, it's $90 one way.
That's ridiculous.
Like, crazy.
Australian dollars.
Australian dollars. Very cheap. But just go do it.
Yeah.
Like,
if you have no money,
if you have no
money,
you can save a little bit of money.
You don't even have to travel, just go work
and
save.
Well, this is my advice that I always say to people who I meet now on my travels, and they say, I'm thinking of going to Australia. And I said, honestly, the amount of money I made in 6 months on the mines, just working as a cleaner, it was pretty easy, to be honest with you, everyone. 2 weeks on, 1 week off. And I met amazing people. And I made a salary job in 6 months as a backpacker, not paying rent, not paying any kind of bills. I would, if I could do it all over again, I would work like that for 2 years and then go travel for a year completely free, not have to work.
I love it.
That would be my advice
and
to anyone right now.
Spending money.
That's not even
saving money, like, or like being tight with your money while you're traveling.
That's being very generous.
You could save 50, 60 grand in a year working in the mines in Australia.
Drinking espresso martinis every weekend.
And even, for example, I've worked for 6 weeks in Australia part-time, and I've saved money for a three-week trip.
I think
to
that we should add that one thing
Vietnam.
That we didn't talk about that I did have a question about is accommodations where you're going to live. A lot of times people are just living in dorms while they're doing this.
Be prepared to work or to live in backpackers. But you can also be prepared to not to.
There's
so
options.
I'm Irish. It's very rare that an Irish person goes to Australia and doesn't work with Irish, live with Irish,
yeah,
socialise with Irish.
I agree, I met.
I unfortunately and unpopularly seek out hostels that are not Irish.
I don't think that's unfortunate
racist.
At all.
But
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but what's the point of traveling to the other side of the world to meet the same people that you'll meet back home?
All I'm looking for is
exactly.
Americans every day.
Obviously. I love us. We're awesome. We're big and we're better at everything.
We're teasing the wall, man.
If it's your first time traveling and it's not your choice to be alone or to just go out and meet people that you don't know and you've never known and live in a place where you live with 6 people or 8 people that you've never met.
It's the best
before,
way to make friends.
Really hard, but it's the best way to make friends.
Go stay
but
in a dorm.
If you don't want to do that, that's okay too, because mm-hmm. you can arrive and move into a share house and get a good job and find a life for yourself and set up a community. And that's easy to do too. And use Facebook groups and
yeah.
loads
the
of different...
The world is literally
like
your oyster today.
It is really easy.
And then another thing I will give as a big recommendation, West Coast is the most unvisited part of Australia. Perth is the most isolated city in the world because it's technically so far away from everything. But the West Coast is absolutely stunning. I've never been anywhere in a progressive country, like a Western country, where there's been so little around. There's been so much nature, but no high-rises on certain spots. I saw giant manta rays for free in the ocean. I saw dolphins for free in the ocean. Sharks for free.
And that's every day.
And it's everyday occurrence.
I see dolphins every day in the ocean. And I live in a backpacker's.
And you don't have to pay for anything. You don't have to pay for it. So I cannot stress enough for you to go and take your tourism to the West Coast. And even though this might destroy it, recommending that, but right now it's just beautiful and it's very untouched and it's very amazing. And just be very cautious of the environment when you're there.
I love it.
Because it's very untouched.
Hannah, thank you.